Let's begin with the lockdown. Were you hearing much from hospitality employees over that period?
Yeah, so, you know, basically the campaign that I started, Raise the Bar, that offers free legal advice and advocacy and support to hospitality workers, we were inundated with, you know, hospital workers that were fired with virtually no due process, like not even 24 hours into the lockdown. And then during the lockdown, there was just email after email of hospitality workers whose employers were proposing redundancies when they could have just kept paying them the wage subsidy. There was no reason to be proposing redundancies so early on in the lockdown. Many of these workers who contacted me, their employers followed through and made sometimes hundreds of people redundant, especially with the bigger hospitality companies that own several, like anything up to like 20 bars in Auckland and around New Zealand. So yeah, it was, in all honesty, I had some pretty dark days of feeling incredibly down for all these workers who have completely lost their income. Heaps of them are on visas. They can't access welfare, you know. Yeah. So it was horrible getting those emails, to be honest.
I can totally imagine. Were there sort of like exploitative processes and practices that you'd encountered over your years of working in advocacy roles in the hospitality industry that had become more evident under the lockdown conditions?
The thing is, in the hospitality industry, we know, like in 2018, the government released figures that basically one third of all complaints to the ERA, et cetera, Ministry of Business Innovation Employment, came from hospitality. So we know that already the industry was incredibly problematic, exploitative, that hospital employers often have absolutely no idea of their obligations as per the 2000 Employment Relations Act. Before the lockdown, it was a wild west of workers' rights where, unfortunately, employers felt very emboldened to treat their workers any way they wanted, you know, cut and slash shifts whenever they saw fit. Wage theft has extensively been reported in our media as just a business model in hospitality. And as someone that worked it for 15 years, I very rarely worked for an employer that treated me with any ounce of respect or had any form of respect for my skill set that I brought to the job, which was often reflected in my wages. I was often offered minimum wage or a dollar above. So without a doubt, I think that COVID-19, the snap depression that we've now entered, and the lockdown, all three of those things that are obviously interlinked, have just exacerbated the massive issues of exploitation and the major issues in our industry that were already existing.
Now, you mentioned wage theft in there, and wage theft is something that you've worked really, really hard to shine a light on over the past few years in your campaigning and advocacy. So over the lockdown, we kind of heard through the media that some businesses were taking that wage subsidy that was offered by the government and then actually pocketing it and not passing it on to employees. From your experience, was that true at all?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, yeah, absolutely. That's what I've been seeing and hearing from huge numbers of hospitality workers. Effectively, as soon as the wage subsidy was announced, my instinct was, and I tweeted about it like straight away, was that this wage subsidy scheme that the government, you know, announced was ripe for exploitation, mainly because of Jacinda's high trust in employers. Where would she think that employers in hospitality deserve that high trust? It blows my mind, you know? So yeah, absolutely. I think particularly in the beginning, hospitality employers, they did not even read, did not even read the declaration or the obligations under that declaration. So they thought that they could use that wage subsidy to pay their suppliers, to pay their rent, pay their mortgages on their holiday homes. And I'm actually serious. I had one hospitality employer come to me and specifically say that his owner had used some pretty manipulative emotional tactics to beg for his workers to let him use the wage subsidy to pay his mortgages on his houses. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And I think that, you know, throughout this time, many much bigger employers, not just individual hospitality employers, have been misusing this wage subsidy, have been firing or making their workers redundant, and they had already applied for the wage subsidy, and they're swearing blue and black that they're going to pay it back to the government. But my gut feeling is that that's probably not true at this point.
Is there any legal obligation for them to pay that money back? Like, how is that enforced? Do you know?
Well, absolutely. Okay, so it's very clear that 100% of that wage subsidy must be passed on to workers, or it must be paid back to the government, ideally. And they're actually, employers are absolutely obligated to be passing on that wage subsidy and retaining their staff during this time. Unfortunately, many hospitality employers have not done that. If they fail to do so, what they've actually done is open themselves up to committing fraud. The type of fraud would be welfare fraud, which can be criminally prosecuted. I think a lot of employers aren't understanding that that wage subsidy is state welfare, that is for their workers, not for them.
If we do end up entering a recession over the next few months, we can expect that there's going to be additional pressures on hospitality businesses to cut costs to survive.
Yeah.
How do you think that businesses might adapt to an economic downturn in an ethical manner, which actually honours the rights of employees?
I think that the employees that already have more of a people-focused approach to their businesses are already responding in ethical ways. For example, the Better Bar Company has, you know, they have many venues across Auckland, have retained all their staff. You know, they have focused on keeping their staff employed, reopening, and ensuring that their workers keep their jobs. These employers that went into owning a hospitality business from a point of view of passion, many of them are from a hospitality background themselves. I think those are the ones that are going to flourish. Those are the businesses that will do well. And we'll start to see, my hope is that we start to see a bit of a shift in the way that we do respect hospitality and other service workers, because we do build a sense of community. We are part of your neighbourhood. We do give you a coffee in the morning and ask how your day is. So I think the way that employers in hospitality can go about, you know, getting through this recession and get and flourishing during this time is by treating their staff with respect, is by actually paying them what they're worth and remembering that without us, they actually don't have a business.
I think that was so well said, what you said about hospitality workers really giving a sense of life to, you know, suburbs. Like you know, you look at somewhere like Kay Road and there's such a network of people that work in hospitality. People that work at one bar will go and, like, when they knock off, go and drink at another bar. And there's like a cooperative atmosphere between hospitality workers, and they all know each other. And it's a really neat little community, not just for the people that come and get their morning coffee and say hi, you know, and then, you know, you catch up with regulars, but, you know, like for hospitality workers, other hospitality workers, and, you know, being able to share stories and experiences, it all adds, you know, color and life into a suburb, or it's cool.
Yeah, and you know, just quickly on that, you know, I'm very proud hospitality worker. I still work the industry 1 or 2 days a week. I see myself as a highly skilled worker. I have incredible passion for the industry, for making coffee, for giving incredible service to customers, for, you know, I take a lot of pride in my job. And, you know, the thing that I really noticed is that the employers, hospitality employers that open, are the ones, so I had a lot contact me because they know who I am, and I, you know, I frequent their venues, I talk to their workers and them, and, you know, they were contacting me, you know, I think, hey, I know that you usually only work with workers, however, I just want to know that I'm meeting my statutory obligations under the Employment Relations Act and that I'm doing right by my workers. And, you know, I helped them out and I went over, you know, I told them what they can do and where to look for the correct information. And those are the businesses reopening. You know, those are the businesses that are selling so much coffee that they have to close early. You know what I mean? So I think when it comes to the economic downturn, I think what I'm seeing, it's the businesses that were really focused on their own, on their staff that they actually see as human beings with lives that they should care about. And you're so right. Like, we have such a huge sense of community as hospitality workers. You know, like when we knock off, we go to our favorite bars and hang out with our favorite bartenders. And there's a real sense of community and connection for a lot of us there.
For sure. I just kind of wanted to ask, it's a bit of a sadder note, but what are your biggest concerns for hospitality workers as we begin to scale down alert levels?
Honestly, I've had some days of crying for hospital workers because, you know, so many have lost their jobs. I've taken calls from hospital workers who are just distraught, you know, like they've got nowhere to turn. Many of them can't access welfare because they're on visas. They have no money left. They can't get home. And then the Kiwi, you know, Kiwi workers as well, like the ones that have been fired at will or made redundant, they're devastated. You know, often the process that their employers took was literally the Hunger Games of workplaces where they were pretty much asked to battle it out for their job that didn't even pay that well anyway. So my biggest concern right now is for the mental health and well-being of hospitality workers and their economic well-being, which obviously is connected to their mental health. We already knew that statistically hospital workers suffered quite hugely from mental health issues, the long hours and nights, missing out with time with our family and the road trips in the summer, all of that, or New Year Eve that we missed out on. That's my number one worry at the moment, is their economic well-being, which is obviously attached deeply to their mental health and sense of well-being.
Hmm. So in the wake of COVID-19, and it's sort of illuminating a few gaps and, pitfalls of the industry, do you think there's a need for some legislation concerning employment law to change in the wake of it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our Employment Relations Act, the backbone of it is Section 4, which is duty of good faith, and then we have another Section 103A, which is test of justification. Those two sections are pretty much the backbone of our employment, right? You know, our Employment Relations Act. And more than anything, what needs to happen is the actual sections that we already have under our Employment Relations Act need to actually be enforced. And also, it's so hard for low-wage workers to access the help they need. So the government really needs to work hard to ensure that all this information, that legal help is free, that, you know, workers in hospitality can access the information they need, then the support they need, and they can actually enforce their rights. Employment law is just not being enforced in hospitality at the moment at all.
Finally, just to finish up, let's end it on a positive note. I would like to ask if there are any sort of really positive instances of businesses adapting to the radical changes that we've seen with COVID-19 that you believe can actually set an example to other businesses, you know, like the good, the best things that you've seen over the past, 2 months.
For me personally, it was the business owners who were contacting me and who were really worried about the welfare of their workers and the sustainability of their businesses during this time. And I guess the most heartwarming thing was seeing them reopen and seeing them retain all their staff, seeing them do everything in their power to at least try to pay them 100% of their wages during the lockdown. And then when they really started running out of money, really talking with their workers and including them in any conversations around, a wage reduction, really consistently communicating with their workers and being responsive and treating them with respect and being honest about where they're at. Like, for me, that was the most heartwarming thing, because that's how we start evening out, the relationship between employer and employee.